Welcome to Career Tools, our guidance on why do you want to work here? Here we go. We have a number of podcasts, I think over 50 on interviewing. Some of them are only available for purchase in our interviewing series, but many of them are not. And this is one of those that isn't. One of the most common interview questions in the world is, why do you want to work here? And almost nobody prepares for it or spends time thinking about it. Other than just being, well, off the cuff kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But why do you want to work here is a dispositive question for many interviewers. They see it as a delineator between good and bad.
Yeah. I was thinking you won't get a job based on a good answer, but you could lose a job based on a bad answer.
Yeah, exactly. So the question becomes, what's the right way to answer?
And of course, we have the answer to that. So we have 4 points. You have to have a positive answer. What do you admire about the company? What do you hope to learn? And what can you contribute?
Good. Okay, so you have to have a positive answer. I assume what you're getting at there is that the vast majority of people say, well, here's why I'm leaving.
Exactly. I'm leaving this horrible place.
Yeah. Or even if it's not horrible, people think a good answer to this is simply saying, well, I finished my time. I had a good time at the company I'm leaving and I'm ready for new opportunities, which doesn't answer the question and puts it in the realm of, I could say that to every single company I'm interviewing with, which is not the point of the question.
Exactly. So, this question is common. In the interviews that I've had, I've probably asked it every single time because it is such a delineator between candidates.
Right.
If they've prepared, then we know that they thought about why they wanted to come and interview with us. They've thought about the job and they've thought about how they fit. We know they've prepared because they have an answer to a really obvious question. And if you can articulate something about why you want to work for a company, it shows that you've really thought about it. It's like being able to say why you picked this girl that you want to go out with, rather than saying, well, all the others weren't good. You've got to be able to say, well, I really like you because, and that's what you're doing for the company.
Okay.
So as we just said, like it can't be, I hate my current company, or they won't give me more money, or I've had my time there. You know what as you just said, like you can't say, I've been there long enough, I've learned everything that I have to learn, and now I want to go somewhere new. Because that's saying, I was forced to leave, and now I just want another girlfriend.
Yeah, actually, the part about, well, I've run my time, people think of it as a positive. Like, I'm a learner, I'm a lifelong learner. I'm ready for my next challenge. And companies, and they say to themselves, the story we tell ourselves, folks, is that, well, that's what this company wants, somebody who wants to grow to the next level. And their job is a challenge. That's the way companies see it. Unfortunately, again, it just doesn't answer the question. That says why you're leaving where you are, but it doesn't mean why do you want to work here, right? There's a difference between leaving one company and joining another. If it were the same position, if it was the same answer, there would be only one company you could leave your existing company to go to. But the fact that there are multiple choices means you have to tell them why them. What they want to know is if you've done your work, if you've thought this through, or if you're simply taking the first opportunity. The best people have many opportunities. And they also don't want to spend a lot of time preparing an offer or continuing to interview you if they don't think you've thought it through, or if they think that you think they're any port in a storm. I hate to say it that way, but right?
Yeah, and that's one of those things where interviewers and interviewees often see things differently. The interviewee thinks that, oh, because I'm comparing them to something bad, they must know that they're good. And that's not how the interviewer sees it at all. And you just said if you have multiple offers, if you're working with a bunch of companies and you're in the interview stages, it's not disingenuous to have multiple good reasons to work for 5 different companies. And they might not all be the same reason, but it's okay to say, okay, I like company A because I admire their training record. I like company B because they are really good in my field. I like company C because they have really good wages.
Yeah, or they're known for really being creative, or they have a long history of honoring creative approaches to the marketplace, or introducing new products, or really engineering their products till the nth degree, which is something that's important to you, or they're known for an outstanding marketing effort and marketing organization. Any of those things might be true about any number of companies. And what companies are looking for is, do you know about them, and have you thought it through, and have you matched us up? Because we're interviewing other people too, and most candidates don't ever do what amounts to threat research and say about the company, well, what are they looking for, and what are the things that are important to them? Because they're doing the same thing. They're looking at 30 or 40 candidates, hopefully, and deciding which one's best. So wouldn't you love it if the company told you, this is what we're looking for? Well, therefore, why wouldn't the company ask you, what is it you're looking for? Right? Exactly. Which is essentially, why do you want to work here? Because if it's not what you're looking for, then you wouldn't be interviewing, right?
You want to hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you answer the question, how might it sound?
Okay, so it might sound like, I've admired your company for a long time. Your environmental and social policy is something I really believe in. I believe I can contribute by bringing my grassroots knowledge of ecological research to clothing design. I'm excited about being part of a movement, as well as working to supply people with the clothing they need for their adventures. There's a whole bunch of companies for whom that statement would be right, and that's okay. So you have to say it with the person that you're interviewing with conviction, as if they are the only one that you're interviewing with.
Okay. To me, I also think you can easily come up with what your criteria are. The way to apply this systemically is to say to yourself, okay, what am I looking for in a company? Right? Maybe what it is a particular credibility that the company has. It may be marketing, it may be engineering, it may be brand leadership. Okay. Then it might also be the right opportunity in terms of your career. And then it might be the caliber of people. In other words, I'm going to analyze all my opportunities in this search I'm going through based on these three criteria. One may win out over another. A different company might be number one in a different area. And you could say, here are my three things, and here's why you rank high in all three of those things. And I'm amazed. Well, Wendy, I have a number in my head. You tell me what your number is in your head for the percentage of people historically who have given you an answer to this question that shows not just that they have a specific answer for the company, but they've thought it through more broadly and then have tailored their analysis, which we like, to the particular company.
Less than 10%.
Yeah, I was going to say 15, so you're just harder than I am, which harder, no one will believe.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you've got to have a positive answer, and not just positive about the company, but an answer that shows you've done your research. Okay, so I could go on forever about this. The next point you make is, what do you admire about them?
So when I gave the answer that I gave just now, it was in three parts: what I admired about the company, what I was hoping to learn, and what I could contribute. So we're just going to go through each of those, and then you put them together to give your answer. So describing what you admire about the company is a really good way to start, because it's always good to start with flattery. And there's often something that you do admire about a company that it's easy, you know, to pick out one of those things, whether it's their entrepreneurial speed, whether the mission, their financial acumen, the people they serve, whatever it is. And it has to be something that's genuine enough that you can sound enthusiastic, because otherwise, if you're not enthusiastic, you shouldn't be interviewing.
Yeah, and don't think you can fake sincerity, folks, because you can't. Or if you can, it's only with a very junior interviewer. And that probably means the answer doesn't matter very much. I would modify one thing you said. So everybody likes flattery. We've made the case here before that the distinction between flattery and praise is one is sincere and one isn't. So Wendy's using flattery loosely there, guys, to suggest, I'm going to tell you something good about yourself. But it's not flattery to say to your spouse, you look nice. So we want to help the company understand that we understand they have good things for them. But we want to say it in a way that's genuine, which would make it not flattery, but rather praise or admiration, which is the whole point of what do you admire about them?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So look, everybody, right? Everybody likes that, to be told what they're good at. And in this case, if you tell the company you admire them, you're reinforcing that recruiter's choice in working there, and you're saying, you made a good choice and I want to emulate you, right? There's nothing wrong with that. And it is not just to make them feel good. And guys, I got to tell you, you have to have thought it through. This is a question you need to prepare for. This could easily be a question that you have a 3x5 card for, or a flash card for, or a reminder in your smartphone device or on your laptop about, or on your iPad or tablet about, which says, you know, why do you want to work here? And then you list the companies you're potentially going to interview with, and then you have different answers for each one. And you're able to say, well, that's easy because of A, B, and C. And it's a different A, B, and C, or it's shaded differently at two different companies that are in the same industry. And I'm sitting here the entire time thinking about this, Wendy. This is a classic case where doing some practice, when you do video practice, one of the things that happens in our interviewing series, folks, is we recommend daily audio practice and then weekly video practice. And if you practice interviewing with a friend and they ask you, okay, you're interviewing with XYZ tomorrow, give me your why do you want to work here answer. And then you're interviewing with ABC the next day, give me your why do you want to interview answer. If the two sound the same, they're going to catch you and they're going to say, those sound the same. Mm-hmm. And after five or six interviews, if you deliver that in a boilerplate kind of monotone-ish straightforward answer, they're not going to believe you. The sincerity has to come through. So you need to have done the analysis. Okay? The next point you suggested was, as a potential criteria for people, is what do you hope to learn?
Yeah, and a lot of people start with this because for the reasons you were saying earlier, they want to demonstrate that they're a lifelong learner. They want to demonstrate that they have more growth, that they can contribute to this company. But the problem is that you're asking the company to give you something without giving them something in return. So you're saying, teach me, right, but you're not saying, and I'm going to give you this. So that's why you don't lead with this. You want to start by saying why you admire them so that they have something positive. They feel like there's a beginning of a relationship, and then you tell them what you hope to learn. Because you don't want to miss that out either, because you don't want to sound like you're not ever going to learn anything new, because everybody always is. Okay, so we want to find a happy medium between saying, I want to learn everything and I want you to pay for it because I'm just going to sit around learning, and I'm going to work, but I'm also going to grow and be better for you. And so that's why we don't lead with what we're going to learn. And instead, we express it in a way that talks about contribution. So I'm excited about having the opportunity to develop my currency hedging skills and contribute to the company's effectiveness in that area. If you know that's a particular pain point, you can tell them that that's what you're excited about. Or I'm looking forward to developing my writing skills further and helping the company communicate with its customers more effectively. So again, they're learning, but they're showing what your contribution will be. So it's an equal relationship.
Yeah, I really like when you talk about learning. I think there are a lot of people who delivering it poorly will come across as selfish. I'm glad we go second. And I've always encouraged people to talk about the challenges. Because of the challenges, I'm going to learn and grow, and that will be more effective. And I think that then leads you to the contribution portion, both. And of course, the contribution portion is more current, more now. But talking about, I'm going to be challenged, and that's going to help me learn, and that will help me get further, I think is modern in the year 2015, modern importance when it comes to interviewing. It wasn't true 30 years ago, but it's much more acceptable now to talk about the learning organization and the learning individual and so on, in part because companies have learned everything's changing so fast. If we have a bunch of people who are good at something but can't learn, we're going to be in trouble pretty quick.
That's true. It's true. And if you think about apprentices, when my dad went to work, he was an apprentice. And when he was finished, he was done. He'd learned everything there was to know.
Right. Good. And then the third thing was, what can you contribute?
Yeah. So one of the underlying questions of an interview is, what can you do for me? That the interviewer is effectively asking, why should I give you this job? What is it that you're going to do for me? And why do you want to work here is the most thinly veiled part of the interview, where they might as well say, what can you do for me? Because why do you want to work here is almost that.
Right.
So you need to make sure that you answer that question, what can you do for me? So beginning, I believe I can contribute is a good way to start that, because it makes you give a sentence that is a description of your contribution. There's often, if you start a sentence the right way, then you end up in the right place rather than getting confused in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when you're talking about the contribution, you talk about something that you know is required in the job. Like, don't say, oh, my contribution, I believe I can contribute in underwater basket weaving, which I know is one of your top 10 skills. Yes. Because if the company doesn't do underwater basket weaving, the interviewer's going to go, okay, that's nice, but it's not what I need. So next, it has to be something that you know they need. And if you can make it their biggest pain point, then that's even better. But it has to be at least something you know they need. So for an example, an accountant who says, I believe I can contribute by instilling my happy-go-lucky nature in the team, is a lot less appealing than one who says, I believe I can contribute by bringing my knowledge of offshore joint ventures to leverage your new joint venture strategy to maximum advantage, and my experience of volumetric analysis automation to enhance the procedures you already have in place. So not only does that person have skills that we know the company needs, but also that he knows that there's a new joint venture and that the procedures need automating. So it shows a lot of research as well as skills.
Something else that I found happens periodically among the very best candidates. It didn't occur to me until I was listening to you talk about that. But some of the very best candidates I've ever interviewed have said in their answer that their answer is slightly differently by the end of the day if they're going through a series of interviews, where if in their second or third interview they discover that, well, in fact, we're doing a great deal more now in this new area, which is X, then by the end of the day, they could say, and one of the things else I can bring to the table is, I didn't realize it. It was not something we had talked about before, but Robert, who I was interviewing with earlier, tells me that you guys are going more into the X area, and I've actually have 2 years of experience doing that. My previous company was an early adopter of that technology. I had some work doing the accounting procedural development for that, and if I can contribute in that area, I'd love to be able to do it. It was an enjoyable part of my career.
That would be amazing. I would be blown away.
Right. The guy at the end of the day goes, by the way, he brought up this, and he's like, wow, really? And you know, and then Robert says, yeah, he mentioned that to me. Wow. This is somebody who, partially because you ask good questions and partly because you listened, you probably bring to the table something that somebody else doesn't have. And there would be nothing wrong with that, because you're not going to suggest to a company that there are only two reasons that you're going to want to work there. If there's something else comes up, why not bring up another one? You could even mention your three and say, can I just add a fourth? I didn't do this earlier in the day, but I didn't realize that you guys were going into Technology X. Oh, that would be huge.
I'm just thinking about it. Oh, it gives me goosebumps.
I know. It's like, wow, I want that candidate, right? And guys, look, we don't hire people because of how great they did in the interview. But we don't hire anybody who does terribly in an interview.
No.
And you don't have to be 100% better than somebody in everything. You don't even have to be 100% better in the one thing they're looking for. It's always a sliding scale of 10 or 15 different things. And the person who's 1% better than everybody else, even though there may be one person better than you in one or two things, you better than everybody else by 1% is the way you do it. And by the same token, you die by the death of 1,000 cuts. Nothing is going to obviously if you lie or if you don't have the right background, that's something. But generally speaking, guys, if you're in an interview, the company has already decided you can probably do the job. The question now is, who's the best? Who's the best fit? And how well can you do the job? Those are all subtleties. Those are not black and whites. And so if you end up averaging 83 on everything when every other candidate averages 82 or below, all things being equal, which of course they never are, you do better. And that kind of small thing, having thought through your answer, is good. Now, is it possible you'll be going up against somebody who says in their interview, this is the only company I ever wanted to work for, and I couldn't do it when I graduated in school, and here's the reason why I've liked it. Yes, it's possible you go up against that person. It has been our experience, however, that those people, if they don't deliver it perfectly and they don't have a real detailed level of knowledge of the company, will be believed insincere. Well, here's why you're the only company I ever want to work for. Here's why you're the only company I'm really seriously going to consider. And then there's not a perfect amalgamation of their skills and the opportunity. Companies are, I hate to say it, people like Wendy and I are cynical after years of interviewing. So your ability to have thought through what you want and then tailor your answer of what you want to why that works for this company and to really show them that you've thought about it is a big plus. And not doing well in this, as we mentioned at the top of the guidance, is a big negative.
Yeah, because you know it's coming. Yeah. If you know it's coming and you don't do it, that's just like, okay, you might as well have not bothered coming.
Which reminds me of the line in the movie Bull Durham where Kevin Costner is the catcher and the big pitcher, Nuke LaLoosh, played by Tim Robbins, says, man, you know, he throws a fastball, I think, and guy hits a home run off of him. And Kevin Costner walks out to the pitching mound and says, man, and they had just had a disagreement about something. He says, man, that thing got out of here like it had a stewardess on it or something. And he's like, yeah, he knew it was coming. And Kevin Costner says, he did. I told him. Guys, this question is coming. You've been told. You got no excuse for not spending a half an hour or 45 minutes nailing this answer and practicing it.
Absolutely. Shall I sum up?
Please.
You have to have a positive answer. What do you admire about the company? What do you hope to learn? And what can you contribute?
Good. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. That's it. Hopefully that was helpful to you in your interviewing. Why do you want to work here? Is an important question, and too many people stumble.